Good morning. Good to see you. Boy, it is nearly full out there. It is good to see so many out this morning. I didn't really mean that in Sunday school the way it sounded, but we'll get on with the sermon in which the Lord has impressed on me this day. And it's I'm going to start out with a scripture out of the third chapter of Revelations, and we're all familiar with this, but turn to it anyway. Those of you who have Bibles, third chapter of Revelations, starting with the 13th verse. This is God speaking to the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and blind, or poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Works do not make us hot or cold. What makes us hot or cold is our attitude. Our attitude in the gospel, our attitude towards our Heavenly Father. That is what makes us hot or cold. In verse 18, it talks about gold. And I think we all know what that gold is. He's talking about righteousness. And I believe the definition of righteousness is doing right. But there's more to it than just doing right. It's the attitude in which we do those things that are right. That's what we need to be clothed in. That particular attitude of doing right. And that attitude is brought about through love of our Jesus Christ and fellow man. That's what that attitude is brought about by. I'm going to finish that particular reading. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That particular attitude and that particular righteousness will come to us by certain steps. When we come into the gospel, or we strive to do that which is right, we are not necessarily righteous yet. I want to turn over just a couple of chapters over into 1 John. My Bible, about 2 or 3 pages over. 2nd chapter, read 2 verses, 28th and 29th verses. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And ye know that he is righteous. Ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. So in other words, if we are going to not be ashamed when our Lord and Savior comes, the only way we're not going to be ashamed, and the only way we're going to see our Lord and Savior as he is and his righteousness, is if we are righteous. Otherwise, we are going to be naked. We are going to be ashamed. The only thing that will clothe us is righteousness. No other thing. We cannot come before the Lord and say, I've sought to do thy will, and I've done some good works, and I've done your commandments. That's not enough. That's not enough. It's the attitude of righteousness that will clothe us. That attitude is loving and giving. That is the attitude. And it sounds pretty easy. Loving and giving. Sounds like it's pretty easy to obtain. I can love, I can give. It's not that easy. It goes against the natural person. It goes against what comes natural to us, to me. I can look within myself and see things that I'm ashamed of. I can. And I honestly think that the majority, if not all, from the oldest to the youngest, can look within themselves and see things that are not pleasing. And we may not do things outwardly that cause offense, but what did the Lord say? It's not what the mouth speaks out, it's what's within that will condemn us or raise us up. And I can look within myself and see things that I'm ashamed of. And I believe most of us can. And they're difficult. Difficult to remove, impossible to remove on our own. There is no way that we as individuals can remove these things. So he gives us steps. He gives us stepping stones to achieve this kind of attitude. They're called commandments. All these commandments are written in the scriptures for us to obey. Not to just be obeying them, but that our attitudes change. Over a period of time, our attitudes change. We become that loving and giving people. We who are parents put commandments and restrictions and things before our children. If you're like me, lots of times a day. And when they're young, and maybe not so young, they don't see the reason behind them. They just know that there are commandments, and I'm supposed to do them. So I do them. And we give them those commandments to keep them safe. But more than that, we give them those commandments so we develop their character. So we develop their attitude. And it's the same way with the commandments of Jesus Christ. We may not see totally the purpose and have total understanding of the purpose of all those commandments, but He is attempting to direct our character, our innermost being, that we can be that loving and giving people. He is attempting to direct our attitudes, that we will be clothed in righteousness when Jesus Christ appears. And keeping the commandments of God leads us in that direction. It is not the final thing. If we stand before the Lord at the end day and say, I have kept all your commandments. In fact, as it's in the Scriptures. Isn't it in the Scriptures? And what does He say? I never knew you. Why? You kept those commandments just for the keeping of commandments, and you were not changed within. You were not changed within. So I can tell you that you can seemingly to me keep all the commandments of God from what I see. And when you stand before Him at the final day, I don't know. I don't know if you're changed or not. Only you and the Lord knows. And only me and the Lord knows whether I'm changed. That's what those commandments are for. I want to turn into Matthew. My brother Bick's probably going to give me a good talking to afterwards. Most of my scriptures are from the Bible today. And a long time ago, I can't remember when, how many years ago, he mentioned that to me, that every one of my scriptures was from the Bible, and I ought to work the Book of Mormon in, and I've attempted so to do in the past, but it just worked out this way today. 10th chapter of Matthew, starting with the 32nd verse. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword, for I come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father. How do you confess the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you do that? It is more than standing up on Wednesday evenings and bearing a testimony. It is more than bearing a testimony to those that you work with and those you come in contact with. It is more than that to confess Jesus Christ. You need to put on His countenance and His attitude. We take upon Jesus Christ, His name. Christians. When you look back, or you don't have to look back, but when you read in the Scriptures how Christ lived, He was a loving and giving person. He had that attitude. That is to what we are, that is how we are going to confess Jesus Christ, with our attitude. And if I don't have that attitude, if you don't have that attitude, if my children do not have that attitude, we are going to be naked before Him. We are going to be ashamed. We are not going to see Him as He is. It's plain and simple. We can go through our appointed time of 72 years or whatever and do those things, and it's not going to be enough unless we hearken and we change within us. The Lord is pleading with us to change not only our lifestyles, but change what comes natural to us within. I want to do that. You want to do that. How do I do that? I mean, how do I do that? I can't do it. I'm not strong enough to do that. You're not strong enough to do that. None of us out there are strong enough, no matter how strong the desire is, to do that on our own. We can't. There's only one way, and that's through the Spirit. There's only one way. How does the Spirit come within us? By keeping the commandments. By seeking. Do you think you can put at naught the commandments of God and go down on your knees and say, Lord, I want your Spirit within me. I want to be changed. Can't do it. It's an impossibility. We need to keep the commandments. I've got kind of gotten off track here. I'd like to turn deeper into Matthew, the 25th chapter of Matthew. This may seem off track, but I don't believe it is. Starting with the 14th verse. It's dealing with talents. I want to read through the 29th verse, starting at the 14th. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. And he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents and more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he that also received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord answered and said, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou ought therefore have to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming thou should have received my money and usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto that which hath 10 talents. And unto every one that hath been given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, shall he be taken away even that which he hath. God gives us many talents. He gives us many gifts. He expects us to use them. The greatest gift that he gives us is love. And he expects us to use that. We cannot receive his love, and that's it. He expects us to use it as a talent, to multiply it for him, to use it back, to put that love in our countenance, to share it with others, to let that love grow. If not, he will take it from us. In the first chapter of James, verse 22 through the end of the chapter, first chapter. Be doers of the word. What was the word? The word was Christ. What was Christ? Christ was love. What's he saying? Be ye doers of love. Be ye doers of what Christ would do. He's not just saying be doers of the commandments, although that's part of it. He's saying be doers of the word, be doers of what Christ did. Love. And not hearers only. In other words, just don't receive, like the parable says, just don't receive it and let it drop and let it go. Use it. Deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Looks at his works, looks at doing the commandments, and walks away, and there's no longer a mirror there. He cannot see himself. He does not see within himself. He does not see the attitude change. But whosoever looketh under the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, a doer of love, a changed person, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He, that man, when Christ comes, will be able to see him as he is and not be ashamed. He will be clothed in his righteousness. He will be clothed in Christ's love. It will not be taken away. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. From the world, pardon me. And we all know that that is a description of charity. That is, to me, is the purest, one of the purest descriptions of charity. To go to the fatherless and the widows and those that cannot return our good and give out of love to them. That's exactly what Christ did for us. He came down and gave to us. And we cannot return unto Him anywhere close to what He gave to us. That's the description of charity. I'd like to turn into Luke. Fifteenth chapter. Read a description of unconditional love and forgiveness. Starting with the 11th verse, reading through the 24th. And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger man gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of thy father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And this is a description of Jesus Christ and His love. And we recognize it. But do we recognize that same love and that same attitude within ourselves that is described here? Do you recognize that? Do you have that? When someone sins against you and causes hurt against you, are you just as quick when they come to you and ask forgiveness? Are you just as quick to say you are forgiven, not just say you are forgiven, but to show them that they are forgiven and they are loved? Or is there reservation? Is there reservation? Well, you're forgiven this time, but I'm going to watch you a little closer the next time. Huh? Hey, I recognize it. I recognize it. But that is what we are called to do. To have Christ in our countenance. To be like Christ. That is that unconditional forgiveness, that unconditional love, that is what we are called to do. That is how we are to change. Change without keeping His commandments and following His example step by step. We are not going to change to this degree without His Spirit. We are not going to have His Spirit without the keeping of the commandments. We are not going to have the attitude change without the Spirit. We're not going to have the Spirit without the commandments. It's progressive. You know? We can't stop at the commandments. I want to turn into Philippians. Fourth chapter. Tells us exactly how to receive the Spirit. Tells us how to do it. Tells us how to receive that Spirit that's going to change your attitude. Fourth chapter, starting with the eighth verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. And then what happens? Those things which ye have both learned and received, those things that we've read about of Christ and we've received of Christ, these are the lovely things. Think on these things. Remove the other things from your mind, those reservations. Well, will I forgive this brother the next time? I'll forgive him this time, but I'll watch him closer the next time. Our attitudes are not going to change with that. Think on the things that Christ brought before us. Think on these things that are lovely and of good report, which you have learned and received and heard. I mean, the things that you've learned in the Scriptures, received of His Spirit, and the things that have been spoken of from the pulpit. These things are of good report. These things are honest. These things are pure. These things are true. Receive them. And the things that ye see in me, in Christ, do. And what happens? And the God of peace shall be with you. There's the Spirit. The Spirit, the transforming Spirit that allows us to have that attitude. Stepping stones. Just like a child needs stepping stones, we have the stepping stones before us. Let's follow them. I want to turn into Jeremiah. I marked this one. I have a hard time finding Jeremiah. 31st verse of Jeremiah. Pardon me? 31st chapter. Starting with the 31st verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And those days are when they change their attitude. In those days that they change their attitude, that they are converted, I will make a new covenant with them. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. What's he talking about? He's talking about the commandments. I took them by the hand. I led them step by step. That's what he's attempting to do. To bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, after they make an attempt and receive that, keep the commandments, attempt to change their own desires, attempt to become Christ-like, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law on their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. How will they know me? Inside. Inside. I mean, that's going to be the most marvelous time here upon this earth that we can be a part of at that particular time. From the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I'm going to turn back into 1 John again. Third chapter. Seems like I'm reading all of my favorite scriptures here this day. First three verses, third chapter of 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knew us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And I put a question mark after that. Now, are we the sons of God? Are we changed in attitude yet? Am I changed enough to not be ashamed? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I'm going to change that, and it doth not yet appear what I shall be. Because I can look within myself and know that I still hold some attitudes that can hold me back. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. If we do and we follow the stepping stones that he has given us, if we keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, if we think on those things that are true and lovely and of good report, if we receive the things that we read, if we receive the things that we know of Jesus Christ, if we receive the things that are preached from the gospel, if we receive them into our hearts and don't reject them, then the Spirit will be there. And what's it say? When he shall appear, then we shall be like him. We will be clothed in righteousness. For we shall see him as he is. A reflection. We will recognize righteousness. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I've got more scripture, but I'm not going to read it. I'm going to go to the Book of Mormon and read one verse. And I think this one verse in the Book of Mormon perfectly describes what I have attempted to put forth and what I have attempted to expound from the Bible. And I'm going to turn to the 8th chapter of Moroni. This is on page 771. I'm going to read one verse, the 29th verse. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments. And the commandments bringeth remission of sins. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. Our attitude starts to change. We see the commandments. We keep the commandments. We receive his love. We receive his forgiveness. Our attitude is changing. and because of meekness and lowliness of heart come the visitation of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. That allows us to be transformed. It's progressive. Which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, we become Christ-like? Isn't that what he's saying? With hope and perfect love, which love endureth by vigilance unto prayer, until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. So I hope I've brought something to you that is a benefit. I hope that we recognize the gospel. We recognize what we should be doing in the gospel and how it progresses, that we, when the Lord will come, will be able to see him in his righteousness, that our attitudes will be changed. Thank you.